We have been hearing nonstop about the Lyrid meteor shower. I know the word lyre is pronounced lyre, but I also know that lyrics are pronounced lyrics, and I always thought it was the Lyrid meteor shower. Mr. Bob King, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, knows how to pronounce everything, and that's why we have him on the air. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know how to pronounce everything.
Well, they keep saying the Lyrid meteor shower, and I guess I always thought it was Lyrid, but...
Well, you have an ally, because I also call it the Lyrid meteor shower, and I've never called it anything else.
Well, the one thing that I've loved, that I've read online, is never to make fun of someone for mispronouncing a word, because it means that they read it. They learned it through reading.
Yes, I saw that too, actually.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
They're reading. So they had to make it up.
Three cheers for readings. You know, you do the best you can, and then you... And what was the somebody else posted something that said there ought to be a place where you could just... put in a word and a calm, comforting voice would pronounce it for you correctly.
Well, there is. I go online. I go to YouTube.
Really?
If you ever need to know how to pronounce, because there's so much Greek and Arabic involved with star names and constellation names.
Wow.
That I will have to double check some things, and I'll just type in the word pronounce,
right.
The name of the star, and you will... It'll pop up. There's a couple of different sites that offer your pronunciations.
Nice. Are the people in the videos, are they kind and comforting and reassuring?
You just hear their voice.
Okay, so you don't, but you don't detect a sneer in the voice.
No, there's no judgment.
Like, you idiot.
As far as I can tell.
All right, I love it. See, the things you learn on this show. At any rate...
Yeah, we're going to call them Lyrids, okay?
All right.
And I could be wrong, but I've been calling them that for a long time.
We're going to look it up.
Definitely Lyra is the constellation. And if you wanted to get into a pronunciation match, we could talk about the star Vega.
Standard
pronunciation is Vega, but both forms are accepted. Most people say Vega. So Vega, let's call the whole thing off.
Exactly.
All right.
My mom had one of those in the 80s.
Yes, they were a fun car.
They really were.
They were. Well, if you know anything about Vega or Vega, or you know where to find it, then I'll help you with that. It's from that direction that tonight the Lyrid meteor shower will arrive. It's the first shower of spring. It's really the first meteor shower of any note since January. It is not a powerful shower. It only has... On a good night, and this would be a good night, assuming it's going to be clear, on a good night without a moon, if you're out in the country, you might see between 10 and 20 meteors per hour streaming from near the star Vega in the constellation of Lyra. And Vega comes up, and the Lyrids really don't kick into gear until after 11 o'clock tonight, because that radiant point, the point that the Earth is moving towards, from which the meteors will stream, that radiant point doesn't get up there high enough until around 11. So the best time, actually, is tomorrow morning. Get this, 2-3 a.m.
Oh, yay.
Just before dawn is the best time. But you will still see some Lyrids this evening. And what they are, as with almost all meteor showers, what they are pieces from a comet. And comets, you know, they're always, they're like Pigpen. Peanuts, always losing in a cloud of dust, and they are surrounded by clouds and gases as their icy cores vaporize in the sunlight, and some of that dust lays a trail of its own behind the comet, and the Earth intersects that trail, crosses it, just like you cross a road, crosses that trail. When it does, those little particles slam into the atmosphere of it, the comet left, and produce the meteors. So that's what the meteor shower is. This one is from a comet called Comet Thatcher that was last seen in these parts back in 1861.
Wow. The Civil War was just getting started.
Yeah. So, you may want to think about that, too. That's one of the cool things about lots of things that happen in the sky is that you can relate them way back in time because they either took place back then, or when you look at stars, of course, you go back in time because it takes so long for their light to arrive. So that's a nice thing that's happening. We have the Lyrid meteor shower. Again, that's this evening. You'll get about half that number. If it's cloudy tonight, you'll get half that number tomorrow night. And then it'll kind of peter out after that. So we have a couple of nights of meteors from Comet Thatcher. There's one little tiny event coming up this weekend on the 25th, on Saturday, for those that have a small telescope. And it is the moon will be back, Lisa. You'd be happy to see the moon return to the evening sky?
Well, with the forecast where every night is some kind of mixture of rain, snow, sleet, blah, 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 we finally get some nice weather like Sunday into Monday where it starts to clear out a little bit and temperatures start to get a little bit warmer. So that'll be kind of nice. I'm always glad to see my old buddy the moon.
Yes, and she or he will be back. And it'll be a beautiful crescent. And the crescent on Saturday, if it clears up Saturday evening, and you point a telescope at the moon at around a little before 8:45, you'll see just off to the southern edge, the lower left of the moon, you'll see a star. The star is called Epsilon Tauri, Epsilon in the constellation of Taurus, the bull. And the moon will cover that star. It will move in front of it between 8:45 and about 9 p.m. So it'll be gone from the sky for 15 minutes.
Wow.
That's called an occultation. So you go inside, get yourself a snack, come back out, and then just before 9 p.m., the star will emerge from the darkness right next to the edge of the moon. And that's a really cool sight to see in a small telescope. And that's, again, on Saturday, the 25th. I'll have a little blog on that, too, in advance, so people can check. I also have written something up already about the Lyrids for those who want more information about it. And I have one more thing. Do we have time?
Well, yeah, and we also, of course, have to touch on the proliferation of fake news about star sightings. Because sometimes even veteran journalists are taken in. When somebody says that there's going to be the moon and then there's going to be a couple of stars, it's going to look like a smiley face in the sky. There are veteran journalists who are taken in by that sort of thing and get all excited and want to arrange a stargazing party to see this thing. And then veteran astronomers, once again, science has to step in and say, no, they're just kidding.
Right.
And then the journalists feel crestfallen and bad.
You know, that is a good thing to mention because I saw that pop up again. And what we're talking about is on the Internet, it's another weirdo meme that's happening. Someone created a post. I believe it was an April Fool's post. But now it's being pitched as if it's happening, of the moon forming a smiley face with the two bright planets, Venus and Jupiter.
Not that that wouldn't be fabulous.
Oh, it would be great, but it's
imaginary.
Not even possible for it to happen right now because Jupiter and Venus are way too far apart. Jupiter's in the morning, Venus is in the evening. And they've got a little kind of fake photo with it, and it's got a great headline on it.
You don't mean somebody photoshopped something to make it look like it really wasn't, do you?
I'll make my own conjunctions if I can't get them.
I'm aghast.
So photoshopped it, and so just for the listeners, if you do see this smiley face moon with the planets, you can ignore it completely because it's false.
Well, you can enjoy it, but don't think you're going to actually see it. But
right.
If you had planned the stargaze, you know, now that we have our stay-at-home order, it's a little bit different, but you could still do a stargazing Zoom where everybody's got their laptop out on the deck and you're all looking with your telescope
right.
And you're all talking to each other and you're going, well, I see it, blah, blah, blah. So you could still do a virtual stargazing party.
Everything can be done. Matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a virtual online thing today at 4 o'clock. People can go to the Voyagers National Park website, click on a link there for the Night Sky Explorers, and I'll be doing a program this at 4 o'clock about how to find the constellations and a few other things, too.
Oh, wow. Well, is this open to the public?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then we'll get a link set up so people can check that out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our, as a matter of fact, a lot of our guests here on KUMD in Northland Morning, Laura Erickson this morning is offering to do some programs about people's best birds because she's got some a little bit of time. And she said she's giving priority to kids that are homeschooling. And so during this kind of universal homeschooling opportunity for folks so that we can all accidentally get smarter while we're keeping one another safe. We can learn about the stars, too. I love it.
One more thing.
Tell me more.
One more. And last night, I was out with my daughter, who had to come home because she lost her job. And we were out. I said, Katie, I'm going to show you the Starlink satellites. That's that giant constellation of satellites that's being built in the sky, 12,000 altogether when it's done. But they will be linked together to create an internet service that you can access around the globe. Anyway, many thousands of these satellites will be launched. 360 of them are up there now. I know there's been a lot of interest on seeing these, and so I've got a particular date and time when people can look at our region to see them. And what they look like, they're so bizarre. They're called Starlinks. They're communications satellites put up by SpaceX. Get a pencil out or something and mark this date, but on April 28th, beginning at 10:06 p.m., listeners can look to the northwestern sky, just to the right of Venus. Just turn towards the northwestern direction, kind of in the where the sun set, roughly in that direction. And one after another, as if there was a hole in the sky, one satellite after another will appear, beginning at 10:06. They'll be separated by maybe 15 seconds or so. And it's almost like somebody pitching basketballs into a net. I counted how many we're going to see. Between 10:06 and about 10:30, we'll see 45 of them in a row.
Wow. Now, was it on...
Last night with my daughter, and we saw the starlings come by in bright twilight, and we counted 28 of them on that pass.
Was it on your blog that I saw a photograph that had been created to kind of show the starlinks in the sky and kind of where you could see them?
Yeah, I do. I did a blog yesterday. People can go to that, too, and it has the information about starlinks and a little bit about how to see them.
Right. We'll get a link set up on our webpage so that that blog post will be easy for folks to find. One of the things I thought was interesting, though, is that the reactions on your page to that, there were some wow faces, but there were a handful of sad faces.
Yeah, there were some teary-eyed.
There were some teary-eyed reactions. Folks are concerned about having, is it like light pollution in the sky that they're concerned about?
Yeah, or for sure. And they're almost every night I go out, I see them now, which is fine. But right now there's only 360 of them. When there are 12,000 of them in the sky, it will be inescapable. On any average night, we only see a couple thousand stars in the sky. So these satellites will outnumber the number of stars. Many will be high enough up that you won't see them. They'll be faint. But there will be plenty low enough so that there will be parades happening all the time. So there's a lot of concern, you know, for pollution of the sky, kind of damaging the natural aspect of the sky. Astronomers are concerned about all these objects passing through their time exposures, and so on. But I think for our own education, and they are fascinating, it is fun to go out and watch and learn about them. So April 28th.
That is next week, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
That'd be
next, exactly one
next
week from today,
Tuesday.
Tuesday, 10:06 p.m., look towards the northwest in the direction of Venus. Just stand there and wait, and you'll see one, and then just stay around. You'll see another and another, up to about 45 satellites.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Bob, it is always fascinating to talk with you, and you are such a good sport about the weird tangents. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll get some links set up, and we'll try to put a tickler in our files for next week so that we can remind folks to maybe go out at 10 o'clock and, you know, taking the radio with them, of course, because you can listen to the radio and look at the sky at the same time and take a look at those Starlink satellites. Bob, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks, okay?
All right. Thanks a ton, Lisa. Take care.
Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy with astronomer Bob King, a regular host and a regular feature of Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy here on KUMD.